Okay, everybody, so last time, it was that boring, but necessary historical review of the time, of the period to which the Rebbe Mordechai Yosef of Ishbitza descended. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has everything perfectly arranged. Dor Dor V'Dorishov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at each generation, and the tzaddik that's necessary for that generation comes at that time. The Baal Shem came when it was time for him to come. The Ariya Kodesh and so on. So we were talking about the background last week of Shischa and Kotsk. in order to understand a little bit of who the Rebbe Mordechai Yosef of Ishbitza was, so we have to know where he was coming from. He was coming from those two worlds of Pshischa and Kotsk. What we ended with last time was, as the Kotzka was getting older, he felt more and more embittered by the Koiches, by the tremendous energy that he was expected to pour into people whom he, to a great extent, considered unworthy of receiving his guidance. And we spoke about that marshal at the end, that very disturbing marshal of the holy goat that's wandering throughout the universe, missing its horns, because he's good natured and he lets everybody cut off a little piece to make a snuff box. And the Kotzka saw himself as being used and being taken advantage of, when really, as we spoke about last time, he was seeking only a few talmidim, a few students. Among all of his pupils, the one who was considered by most to be the greatest, the deepest, was the Rebbe Mordechai Yosef of Ishbitza. On Friday night, in the fall of the year 1838, Rabbi Mendel from Kotsk, the Kotzker, became sick. He was bedridden for 9 months. During the 9 months that the Kotzker was sick, Rav Mordechai Yosef Ishbitza did something that was considered to be very, very radical. During the 9 months that the Kotzka was sick, Rav Mordechai Yosef began to accept kvitlach from Hasidim. That means Hasidim were coming to him with requests, with notes, asking him to daven. The Kotzka was unable to see people. So during those 9 months, Hasidim began to go to Rav Mordechai Yosef from Ishbitza, and most of the older students, the older Hasidim, remember that Rav Mordechai Yosef was in charge of the younger Talmidim. He was basically learning Gemara with them, and learning Poskim, and giving them guidance. So he was accepting Kvitlich, he was accepting visits from these younger Hasidim mostly, and the older Hasidim, the Rabbanim that were there, were extremely angry with this behavior. The Kotzka was the Rebbe, and it was unacceptable that Rav Mordechai Yosef should be behaving in any way that in the slightest way seemed to be a betrayal of the Rebbe, of the Kotzker. Nevertheless, they did not rebuke him. None of those tzaddikim, the great students of the Kotzker, actually, from what we know, nobody actually approached the Ishbitza to rebuke him. And the way that we know this is that we have a Kabbalah that the Shem Yishmul, Rabbi Shmuel from Sochetshov, actually asked his father many years later, why was it that when Rav Mordechai Yosef began to accept the Hasidim and to accept Kvitlach, to accept notes from the Hasidim, why is it that none of the older tzaddikim, we know that they were upset, why didn't anybody talk to the Yishbitza? Why didn't anybody tell him? Why didn't anybody rebuke him? So the Avnei Nezer said that the reason that they remained silent was because they were afraid that perhaps their motives were not completely l'shem shemayim. They were afraid that maybe they were influenced by some sort of jealousy. And because of that, they chose to remain silent during that time. It was at this time, 1838, 1839, that Rav Mordechai Yosef began to express certain doubts about the sheet, about the whole method of the Kotzker, of Rav Mendel from Kotsk. It was during this time that he said, it's written in Tehillim, L'Hashem is some ohel bohem. Hashem has set up a tent for the sun. The Mefarshim says it's referring to the sky, right? La Shemesh Sam Ohel Bahem means that Hashem has established a tent for the sun. So the Ishbitz has said at this time, Hashemesh Mefitza Karnel L'chol Eiver. The sun sends forth its rays in all directions. L'zem Chamemes L'zeh Sarefes. Some people are warmed. Some people are enlivened and cheered up by the ray of the sun. But there are others who are burnt by it. There are others who are destroyed by it. Le'echad mevir mozer. One person is healed by the sun. Le'sheni nezek. The other person is hurt by the sun. Zem mischazik kenegda v'zeh koshel kenegda. One person becomes strong by the sunlight, the other person is weakened. Lo kol echad mesugu l'kaveh en ponov el mul hashemesh. Not every person has the strength to turn his face towards the sun. This is the first known teaching that we have from the Ishbitza expressing certain doubts, not in the greatness of the Kotzker, which he never expressed a doubt in the greatness of the Kotzker, but whether or not the method of the Kotzker, the sharpness, the strength, the unrelenting expectation for truth and so on that he had from Chassidim, whether or not this was something that could be used for the masses, and whether or not this was truly the way of the Baal Shem Tov. He also said during this time, on the Pasuk, Lo Sucha Lo Seso Locha Ish Nochri, it says in the Torah that you're not allowed to have a king from a foreign nation, right? Lo Sucha Lo Seso Locha Ish Nochri. So the Ishbitza said, Hainu Adam Shemisnaker Arfilu Labayos Aktanos Vapu'uta Shalcha. The meaning of that is, you are not allowed to place upon yourselves a leader who is misnaker. That means who estranges himself, who makes himself a stranger to even the smallest problems that a Jew has. The Kotzker didn't tolerate questions that had to do with Parnasa and difficulties that people had with Sholem Bayis and so on. The Kotzker did not deal with that at all. So the Ishbitza said at this time that when the Torah says, don't place upon yourself an Ish Nochri, it doesn't only mean, of course it means a man from another nation. You can't have a king who's not Jewish. But on a deeper level, it means that a leader of the Jewish people has to be someone who is not misnagi, who doesn't make himself strange and alien and different from the people. It has to be someone who's together with the people. He said about himself afterwards, the Ishbitza, he said that he was a student for the Kotzker for altogether 7 years. That means that for the last 6, he was there for 13. He was by the Kotzker for 13. But he said he was a student for only 7. So you see from this that the last 6 years, he's not referring to the earlier years, that the last 6 years he already did not consider himself to be a Talmud. And from that time, we also have a teaching. We have something that was mentioned by the Rebbe Rabbi Chanuch of Hanukkah from Alexander. The Rebbe from Alexander was one of the great students who remained loyal to the Kotzker. So Rabbi Hanukkah said, "Yodan l'shurav Mordechai Yosef here for us in the base midrash shalai Rebbe Mikotzk. We knew that the Ishbitza was not going to remain by Kotzk. We already knew." And when did we already see the sign that it was going to end, that the Ishbitza was going to go away? So he says, "Kshabosi la'achroni la'admor." When I came, the Rebbe from Alexander said, when I came to the Kotzker, "Nigashti la'chedru v'hina yotzim yisham Mordechai Yosef." When I came to the room of the Rebbe of the Kotzker, I saw Mordechai Yosef was coming out from the room. And I asked him, "Haye shom chadoshos?" Was there anything new by the Rebbe? And the Ishbitza said, no, there's nothing new. Then I knew that the moment that he said that there's nothing new, he no longer is connected to Kotzk. When he didn't see anything new, when he no longer saw something new by the Rebbe, by the Kotzk, it's a simon that he already was finished. Because as long as the connection was there, so there was this ever-growing, powerful, living spring that was coming forth from the tzaddik to his followers. So once the Ishbosheth said, I saw nothing new today, so that Rabbi Henochel said that it means a simon that already the Ishbosheth is finished with Kotsk. In the introduction to the second chelik of the Me'ah Shiloh, which we'll be studying Mitzvah 7 for quite a few weeks, in the introduction to the second chelik, to the second section of the Me'ah Shiloh of Rabbi Mordechai Yosef Sefer, his grandson, whose name is also Rabbi Mordechai Yosef, wrote the following. Listen carefully. Va'acher histalkus Rabbeinu Simcha Bunim Zal, Yud Gimel Shana, Soval Tsar Hachboz Maras Adulam. Says an amazing thing. He's talking about his grandfather. He's telling over the history of his grandfather, Me'ah Shiloach. He doesn't mention once the name of the Kotzke. He says that after Reb Simcha Bunifer Peshischa died, for 13 years my grandfather suffered the anguish and the pain of being hidden in the cave of Adulam. Now, if you remember the cave of Adulam, that's in Shmuel Aleph, the 22nd chapter of Shmuel Aleph, that's the cave where David HaMelech was hiding from Shaul HaMelech. So the grandson of the Ishbosheth says that for 13 years, my grandfather, the Ishbosheth, was suffering in the cave of Adulam. It's very interesting. In the cave, the idea of the cave where David HaMelech was hiding from Shaul. Shelo higia ha'eis adayin l'lamei Torah b'rabim. It hadn't yet reached the time for my grandfather to reveal his Torah to the Rabbim, to the masses. V'naf shabasach levoyim shachna. And the soul of my grandfather found companionship among a few who were like himself. V'limei Torah b'tzina. And he taught his shita, my grandfather Ishbosheth taught privately to few individuals. V'esnuim chachma. Ad eis bo dvar Hashem, until it came, the dvar Hashem, makes it sound like a prophet, like a Novi. Until the dvar Hashem came to my grandfather. V'igia azman v'ruach Hashem hechel l'pa'amo, and the Spirit of God began to resound within him. V'shna sheish me'os l'elef hashishi. In the 600th year of the 6th millennium, he ayes asher olav ramaz Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, the kad yaisi elav shetitor v'chulu tispatchun tarv de chachmos la'elim abur de chachmos la'sata. He says that the year that his grandfather, the Ishbosheth, began to reveal his teachings in public was the year that was predicted by the Zohar, where it says that in the 600th year of the 6th millennium, which comes out to the year 1840, on the Goyisha calendar, 1840. In that year, the Zohar says, there's going to open the floodgates of wisdom from above and the wellsprings of wisdom from below. So he said in that year, that's when my grandfather, the Ishbosheth, began to spread his teachings. My grandfather was the one who opened the gate. And he began to establish upon the foundations of true Kabbalah. And he began to show her every Dvar Torah, things that seemed to be. And he began to show how things which until that time had appeared to be completely beyond the understanding of human beings. And he began to show she'ein shum divrei Torah she'einam shayochim l'chol prat nefesh b'Yisrael, that every single teaching of Torah is connected to every nefesh Yisrael, every single Jew, is connected to any Dvar Torah, anything in Kabbalah, any mystery of Torah. has a shaychus to a kol nefesh prat b'Yisrael, to every single Jew. So this allusion to the cave of Adullam, David HaMelech hiding from Shaul HaMelech, the 13 years, also the allusion here of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai must be connected to the 13 years that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was hidden in the cave. So in one sentence, the grandson places the Yishbitza, his grandfather, in this cave of hiding from the anger of Shaul HaMelech, equals the Kotzker, who, by the way, Chazal say was a person who never sinned. Isha Ein Bodofi. Whatever happened with him, we don't understand. Says he was a perfect human being. So never is the Kotzker's name mentioned. In the history of the Yishbitza, there are 13 missing years. 13 missing years that his grandson will never say the name of the Kotzker, and the family B'chalal wouldn't talk about it. 13 years of hiding, and 13 years like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai in the cave, during which time, of course, everybody knows that's when the deepest mysteries of the Zohar are being formulated, were being received by Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So it's during this time that, according to the grandson, the Yishbitza of the grandfather was formulating his new shita that was going, what he considered to be going to open the gates of wisdom below, in that time of 1840. Now, when was the actual period? When was the actual break? So far, what I'm going to talk about now is a very famous and unpleasant parasha in the history of Hasidus. But the unpleasant ones are generally the most interesting. So, when did the break actually take place? So far, we haven't heard anything from the Kotzker himself. What we've seen so far is that some of the elder Hasidim are upset. The Yishbitza has already begun to speak certain things, alluding to the upcoming break. But when did the actual period take place? So exactly in that year, 5,600 of our counting, which corresponds to 1830-1840. Rav Mordechai Yosef came to Kotzk for the Yom Neroim. As all the Chassidim would do, they would go to the Rebbe. As many Chassidim as were able to, they would go to the Rebbe for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Generally, they would try to come during Elul and stay straight through until after Sukkot. So in the fall of that year, by Rosh Hashanah of the year 5600, Mamish, the sixth century of the sixth millennium, the first day, so the Yishbitza came to Kotzk for Yom Neroim. There's a tremendous machlokus about exactly what happened during this time. We know that after Simchas Torah, the break was complete. What happened during Simchas Torah, the followers of Kotzk and Ger and so on and Alexander have a story. The followers of Yishbitza and Radzin have a story. So what I'm going to present basically is sort of an attempt to look at it from both perspectives and to put it together and to weave it together into one story. But there are obviously the Chassidim from different Rebbes had different things. We're not talking about lying, God forbid. They saw different things. That's how it is. The most widely circulated account goes as follows. On the night of Simchas Torah, Rav Mordechai Yosef did not leave his place in the inn, in his hotel. And he told some of the Chassidim that were with him to go to the Beis Medrash and to bring a Sefer Torah. To go to the Kotzker's Beis Medrash and to bring a Sefer Torah. And that he would have Hakofis in the hotel. Instead of joining everybody else in the Rebbe's Beis Medrash and the Kotzker's Beis Medrash, that the Yishbitza would have Hakofis in the hotel. In the meantime, by the Kotzka, the Hakofis began. All the years when it came to the Hakofa of Yosef HaTzadik, to the sixth Hakofa, the Hakofa of Yisod, of Tzadik Yisod Olam, the one who the Kotzka always honored with the Hakofa of Yosef HaTzadik was the Rebbe Mordechai Yosef. That was the custom in Kotzk for all the years. So the Hakofis began, and everything was going okay, meaning by the Kotzka. And then it came to the Hakofa of Yosef HaTzadik. Now, during this time, the Kotzker, as I told you last week, is already locked up in his room. It was the time of the Skira. It was already the time when he was closed in by himself. And his, the, his, uh, His door was right by the Bais Medrash, and he would stand by the door, and he was watching and listening from the door. So he did not join the Chassidim even for the dancing. When it came to the Hakofa of Yosef HaTzadik, all of a sudden the door opened, and the Kotzker ran into the Bais Medrash, and he grabbed the Sefer Torah away from the hands of the person who he thought was the Izbitzer. He thought that was Mordechai Yosef. And he pulled the Sefer Torah away. And then he saw that the Jew who was there had the talus obviously over his head. It must have been a big sight. You know, they didn't give it to anybody. So he saw who it was, and the Kotzker gave it back to him right away and said, I thought that you were Mordechai Yosef. He gave the Sefer Torah back. It was obvious to the Chassidim back in the hotel when they heard about this that Mordechai Yosef had Ruach HaKodesh to know that this was going to happen. This would have been a terrible, terrible confrontation for such a thing to happen. The Rav Mordechai Yosef said, Rav Mordechai Yosef later told the Chassidim that he received the sign not to go to the Bais Medrash because he said that for some reason that never happened to him before in his life, that morning he put his left shoe on before his right shoe. And however he put that together, he understood that he shouldn't leave the hotel. He's not to go outside. So he didn't know what was, he said, I didn't know what was going to happen with the Rebbe, with the Kotzker, but I knew that I should stay put. So he stayed there at the inn. The Sof Meister was that Yontiv, there were 1,000 Chassidim in Kotzk. There were approximately 1,000 Chassidim in Kotzk. Rav Mordechai Yosef gathered around him 800. 800 of the Chassidim went to the Rav Mordechai Yosef to the hotel. After Yontov was finished, he was officially declared Rebbe. This took place. These 800 or so Hasidim surrounded Rav Mordechai Yosef's wagon, and there was Tehillim, and there was singing, and there was dancing, and the whole time the Izbitzer sat with his eyes closed, and he didn't say a word. You have to remember that the Kotzker and the Izbitzer were 50 years, went back together 50 years. They grew up together in Tomashov. Friends, then the Izbitzer made himself into a Talmud, 50 years. So we know that night, when they were dancing after Yontiv, when they were dancing around the wagon of the Izbitzer, officially declaring him Rebbe, that the Izbitzer remained completely silent, and he took all the money that he had gathered from the kvittels that were brought to him over those past 9 months. He had money from the kvittels that were brought to him, and he gave all of the money to a chassid, and he told him to give it immediately to the Rabbitson, to the Kotzker's Rabbitson. He gave every penny over to the Kotzker. So he left without a penny, but he left with most of the chassidim. The large part of the chassidim went together with him. What was left behind in Kotzk was mamash avelus, a state of mourning. The Sfarim tell us, again, this comes now from the traditions of Kotzk, that 300 Chassidim returned during the night. In other words, on the way out, 300 or so regretted what they had done, and they decided they're going to go back to Kotzk. They were afraid. Whatever it was, they went back to Kotzk. And at some point, before Alois HaShacha, before the morning, they say that the Kotzker went into the Bais Medrash, and he began to scream that every single one who was there had to come before him, and all those who were there had to stand in front of the Kotzker, and he looked at each one, and then he said, whoever comes back after this moment is not allowed. No one else is allowed to return, only those who are here now. And he said, it says, Harei Mori Rabcha Kemori Shamai, says that one must fear his Rebbe like he fears heaven. And there's only one heaven. That's the vart that we have from the Kotzker. There's not two. There's only one. That was the period. That was the break. After the period, what happened to Rav Mordechai Yosef? After the break, the Izbitzer went to his hometown, to Tomashov. But he couldn't remain there, because Tomashov is a stronghold of Kotzk. Then there's tremendous, tremendous isnagdus. There's a tremendous opposition to him there. So he had to leave. He was invited by many towns to come there, and he to come to them, and he chose this place of Izhbitza, and it's from that time that he becomes known as the Izhbitza, which was very close to Kotsk. I don't know exactly where, but it's very close to Kotsk. He established his court in that town of Izhbitza. It's impossible to describe people like ourselves in this generation who don't take these things so seriously. It's impossible to understand the effect that this had upon the lives of thousands of people, families breaking up, brothers not talking to each other, divorces that took place. You know, when there was a family from Kotsk and there was a one with Izhbitza and so on, what was going on? I mean, it was in all of Poland, Galicia, there was this tremendous, tremendous milchama that took place as a result of the period. After the dust settled, we were told that approximately 2,000 Hasidim remained with Izhbitza, and 8,000 remained in Kotsk. That was the final tally, the final count, during the lifetime of the Kotsk. Many years after the split, the Kotsk temporarily came out of seclusion. He came out of seclusion, and at that time, Reb Mordechai Yosef, when the Izhbitza heard that Reb Mendel Lukotsky was out of seclusion, he sent a delegation expressing his desire to make peace. The Izhbitza sent a shliach, sent a messenger to Lukotsky that he'd like to make shalom. The shliach came and spoke to Reb Dovrul, the son of the Lukotsky, who begged the Izhbitza not to come, who didn't think that it would go well. Reb Dovrul from Kotsk did not think it would go well. And it's a tragedy that Lamaisa, these two friends of 50 years, never saw each other again. The only Makurov, the only one who was close to the Kotsker, who maintained a friendship with Izhbitza, they have to remember, the Izhbitza is coming from a world of Tzadikim and Kedoshim, all the Rebbes, some names that I mentioned last week, from Alexander, from Gestanin, and from Labratov, I mean, Tzadikim and Kedoshim. These were his Chaverim all the years. Not one of the Chaverim, including the Chiddush HaRim, not one had anything to do with the Izhbitza afterwards. I mean, there was one. With the exception of Reb Itzel of Vurka, the Rebbe Reb Itzel from Vurka maintained a connection to the Izhbitza. We're going to talk a bit about the Izhbitza, the Vurka at great length. I spoke about it a little bit last week. He was very different from the Kotsk. We spoke about that. So we have a messiah of a conversation that took place between Reb Itzel of Vurka and the Izhbitza. Reb Itzel of Vurka asked him, why did you run away from Kotsk? And why did you leave? So the Izhbitza supposedly answered, Min Hashemayim Ramzu Li. I received a sign from heaven that I had to go. So the Vurka, Reb Itzel of Vurka said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself spoke to Shmuel HaNavi. Right? Hashem himself spoke, called Shmuel HaNavi. And you see that Shmuel HaNavi refused to do anything before asking his Rebbe. Before asking Eli HaKohen, he refused to do anything. You should have asked your Rebbe what to do. Even if you received a hint from Shemayim, you received a hint, Shmuel HaNavi heard God himself. And he didn't leave until Eli HaKohen gave him permission. We were not told that Izhbitza responded at all. But that's the conversation that took place between his only friend from those days of Kotsk and Tomashov. The fighting pretty much continued. It's continued till the 20th century. We'll talk about that in a couple of minutes. We have one horrible story that came down to us. There were, between the two groups of Hasidim, there were a couple of troublemakers. I mean, who were resorting to physical violence. It's not something that's new. These things already happened. When certain things broke out here among the Hasidim in New York, so everybody was going crazy. My father said, well, it was by Belz and Munkach. My father remembers in Europe what was going on. He says, we never saw things being, you know, houses being burned down. He saw, I mean, people were told to leave, but the houses were burned down. It wasn't anything, it wasn't new. So what happened was, that the list was compiled of the Chassidim from Ishbitza that were particularly involved in certain, how should we say, terrorist acts. And this list was given to Reb Mendel from Kotsk. It was given to the Kotzker, who took it and threw it into the fire. Rabbi Chil Meir from Gustanina was a tremendous lover of Jews. Rabbi Chil Meir from Gustanina jumped into the fire, mamish, and went with his hands into the fire and pulled out that paper and started to blow off to stop the flames. And we have a Kabbalah, the Gustanina himself said that any name on the list that had been burnt that year had died. It's a Kabbalah from Gustanina. He said that any name that was burnt on the list died that year. Lahoitzi Shnosa, that was it. The Kepeda of the Kotzke was terrifying. The Kepeda of the Kotzke. I mean, we don't understand these things. Here's a story from the Rebbe Abtzadik from Lublin. You know, Abtzadik from Lublin was the greatest student of the Ishbitza, and he wasn't a storyteller. So whenever we have any Kabbalahs that we have of anything that wasn't in Halacha or in Chassidus that's from Abtzadik, you have to listen carefully, because even the few words that he said, Sichem Limud, have to be carefully studied. Abtzadik said that one time, unfortunately only half of the story was told by Abtzadik. He says that I was in the Rebbe's room, I was in Ishbitz's room, and a certain Kotzker Chassid came. And he walked into the Rebbe, he walked into the Ishbitz, and he didn't give Shalom. He didn't say hello, didn't say Shalom Aleichem, didn't put out his hand. Didn't give any money. Didn't give a kvittel. Just walked in. And he said, I'm not coming to you as a chassid. I'm not one of your chassidim. I'm not coming to you as a chassid. I'm coming bal korchi. Wasn't my choice. I'm coming as a shliach. My partner is one of your chassidim, and he has placed upon me the burden of coming to tell you that he himself is not well, he is sick, and all of the cows, or most of the cows that we own, have suddenly become sick as well. So the Ishbitz asked him, and tell me, what will you do if I show you a maifis? In other words, what will you say if I perform a miracle? What if I perform a miracle and your partner will get well and the cows will be better? I'll say that it was witchcraft. So at this point, Rabbi Tzadik said, Lo yacholti la'amad v'liros b'hashpolos moi v'rabi v'yatzasi. Absolutely, because I couldn't take it anymore, and I left the room. I couldn't take this anymore, I left. The end of the story, we know from Absolutely's Talmud, about from Wallerstein. This is the continuation. So the Ishbitz has said, and what if you know, what if it can be shown to you, that it's not sorcery, it's not witchcraft, but it's a real nace, that your partner and the cows will get better? What if it's shown to you? So the chassid said, Loi b'shum oifim lo ashtachneya. I don't care. Nothing in the world is going to convince me. So the Rebbe said, Im keina bazoi, mai yia im ha'emes shalcha? Emes? Then if that's the case, that I show you that it's a maifis, and you see that it's a maifis, and I can prove to you that it's not maisik shofim, you're still going to deny? Then what happened to all the truth that you learned in Kotsk? No, Kotsk is truth. Then what's with your emes? And what happened to the emes in Kotsk? So the chassid said, ha'emes metsuyi b'kotsk. Truth is only in Kotsk. So the Ishbitz said, and on the maifis, on the nais, you're going to be a mumer. In other words, that you're a heretic as far as nisim are concerned. You don't believe in miracles. So the chassid said, listen, Ani bosi b'shlichus. I came as a messenger. Listen to the words now. Again, I saw this in Lashon Kodesh, so obviously it was told in Yiddish. Avo meha emes sheli. Ani bosi b'shlichus. I'm coming as a messenger. Avo meha emes sheli sherechashti b'dam chayai. That the truth that I acquired with blood and my life, that truth that I acquired in Kursk, lo azuz, v'lo achlifene b'paros brios. I'm not exchanging the truth that I suffered for. I'm not exchanging the truth that I was bleeding over all these years for a couple of cows. So Nishbetz asked him, will you accept? Can I send you as a messenger in return? So he said, Ba'ain Breirif, if you leave me no choice. So Nishbetz said, then tell your partner not to worry. He'll be perfectly healthy and the cows will also be well. As long as the two of you continue to have a partnership of emes, of truth. The chassid left without saying goodbye, without saying thank you. Didn't leave any kvittel, didn't leave any money. He walked out. And Nishbetz said, B'schus mesiris nefesh. Laman ha'emes, yiske chosid zel abonim gedoilim umuflogim. The Ishbetsa said, because of his mesiris nefesh, for the sake of truth, this chosid is going to have great, great children and descendants. And Reb Tzadik said, in fact, that the children of this chosid turned out to be great rabbonim and great tamin chacham and mechabrim of svarim. But we don't know who it is, but he said, Reb Tzadik said over the end of the ma'aseh, Reb Tzadik said too. It's the ma'aseh. The machlokas continued until the 20th century. There was a reconciliation. The reconciliation took place in 1900 in Marienbad, you know, at the spa, the resort of Marienbad, where a lot of the tzaddikim would meet, and there was a very, very historic meeting, and all the chassidim from the different rebbes came there to see what would happen between the great-grandson of the Ishbitzer, also called Rav Mordechai Yosef, and Reb Yisrael from Pilov. Reb Yisrael Pilover was a grandson of the Kotzke. So in the year 1900, which is the same year that Reb Tzadik from Lublin died, in that year there was a reconciliation, there was a handshake, and those two worlds came back together. We have another story from Reb Tzadik. He told this story once by the Purim Suda. Tzaddik says, one time I was with my Rebbe, one time I was with the Ishbitzer. We walked for a long time and the Rebbe was silent. And suddenly, the Ishbitzer said, Ha'isi pam b'pshischa b'chedru shal ha'Rebbe Rebunim. One time, the Ishbitzer said, I was in the room of the Rebbe Rabbunim from Peshischa when it was time to make Havdalah, Matzei Shabbos. Kama Chazes HaKos, Rabbunim got up and held onto the bech, onto the cup, and he said, Ma bit ani la'arvan shel hadairis. Rabbunim said that I am looking ahead to see the generations that are going to be at the end of time. Asher yavo koydim bias haMashiach, the generations that are going to be, the time that's going to be before bias haMashiach. Eis yisraglu yehudim lemaisaros. Now this was told by Reb Tzadik that he heard it from Nishbetzer. Nishbetzer saw it by the Peshischa. So Rabbunim said that there's going to be before Mashiach that people, Jews, are going to become used to maisaros, to luxuries, loitzos gedolos, and to spending lots of money. And a regular parnosa will no longer suffice. And they're going to be looking for side jobs, for extra parnosa. Jews are going to be running day and night. They're going to spend all their lives working and schlepping to make more money than's necessary. Tismarna saris roshi vitsiparnai doikrais as besar yodi. He says, the hair of my head stands, the Peshischa said, and my nails dig deep into the flesh of my hands.
Karshani mitar la'atzmi, when I describe to myself, la'an yagiu ayyudim oz, to what terrible things the Jews at that time before Mashiach are going to come to. So the Ishbitzer told us in the name of the Peshischa, and then afterwards the Ishbitzer concluded, Yomim koshim yavo, the Ishbitzer said now, difficult times are coming. Chassidim lo yatzlichu lefar, this is nishmasim chassidus bilvad. Chassidim will not be able to find the parnasa for their souls with chassidus alone. They're not going to be happy just learning chassidus. It's not going to give them enough of a lift. And they're going to be looking for all kinds of schoolers, you know, for superstitions and schoolers and all kinds of things. Before Mashiach comes, Jews are going to live only bechesed, with Hashem's, from Hashem's kindness, not bezchus. And he ended, Eilu ha-chassidim shi-yitzapu v'yikav l'rach me'enosh yavdu. Shtei olamas. In the end of time, those chassidim who are going to wait for and depend upon the compassion of human beings will lose both worlds. Avol eilu shi-yis'azu be'emunah, those who will strengthen themselves with faith, yizku l'geula. They'll be zeichet to geula. They'll be zeichet to be with Mashiach. K'mo she'kosuv, u'bnei Yisrael yoytzim b'yad ramah. And the Jewish people are going to leave. We left Mitzrayim, b'yad ramah. That's what Reb Tzadok told. So I looked in the Me'ashiloch to see what does the, if the Ishbitzer says anything on that pasuk, u'bnei Yisrael yoytzim b'yad ramah. Right? So I looked in the Sefer. Do we have any comment that's left? What does he mean by that? U'bnei Yisrael yoytzim b'yad ramah? So over there, the Ishbitzer brings in the Sefer and the Me'ashiloch, which we'll start studying Mitzrayim next week. He brings there the Me'ashiloch, and the pasuk of Ne'esel Yoitzim B'yad Ramah, B'yad Ramah, the Targum says, Bereish Goli. What does that mean, Bereish Goli? Literally means Rosh Megula. Which we would say, with the head held high. B'yad Ramah doesn't have anything to do with the hands. Targum translates as B'yad Ramah. B'yad Ramah means proud, upright, standing up tall. Bereish Goli. And he says, the Ishbitzer Hainu, Lo B'yad Ramah Neged Acherim Begaiva Vegeyus. The meaning of Yad Ramah, that we're going to leave Golas, B'yad Ramah, doesn't mean of with the might of the hand, with Gaiva, with Gaiva, with a show of power. Rak Shahim b'nei Chayrin. Bli yiro pachad mishum adam. When it says that the Jewish people left Mitzrayim b'yad ramah, the Ishbitzer says that it's alluding to the end of time. When the Jewish people are going to leave Golas, and how do Jews leave Golas? He says, Rak Shahim b'nei Chayrin. The only way to leave Golas is to be when you're a free man. Bli yiro pachad mishum adam. Only those Jews who are not afraid of anybody are going to walk the same way they lived in Golas with their heads up tall, not being afraid, not bending before anyone. So too, the Ishbitzer says, those are the people who are going to remain and are going to leave Golas with their heads up tall. Without any pachah, without any fear. Bereish Goli. I think that's a very good way to sum up the life of the Ishbitzer himself. He died in 1854 in our calendar. It means 13 years after the break of Kotsk. 13 years exactly after the break that he had with Kotsk. 13 years that he was in Kotsk. 13 years that after he left Kotsk. B'nei Chayrin b'li yiro pachad mikol adam. Reb Tzadok said that his Rebbe once explained that when he used to say not to be afraid of anybody, he meant not to be afraid of yourself either. Not to be even afraid of yourself, of that meaning of the Yetzirah. Not to be afraid of that part inside of you that is trying to pull you away from the truth. So we see the Seif Dovra. Let's conclude the historical part of this. That there were different paths that came out of Chassidus in general. Everybody knows that from the Baal Shem Tov what came out impossible to, for a human mind to comprehend. How could it be that from that same place, from the Baal Shem Tov, from that one person that came out, the Mizvich HaMagid and the Baal HaTanya, on the other hand, you have the Rabbi Baruch Hu Meshbitzer, Rabbi Elimelech, the Chazif in Lublin. How could it be, Breslov and Chabad, and all came from that one world of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, and from Peshischa itself, from the Rebbe Abunim, that came forth the world of Kotsk. Kotsk went in that way of Emes, of Yikov Hadinus Aharv, of just the Emes, that's all that counts. That came out from the school of Peshischa, that came out Vorka Amshinov, which is the school of Ahava, of love, and of Chesed, and of compromise. The Chiddush Arim came out from Peshischa with a school of Torah, that there goes only to learn is there goes Torah. And all that can be achieved only through Torah. So what was the way of the Ishbitzer? To try to understand, so what did the Ishbitzer emerge from the world of Peshischa? What's his mahalach? What's his derech? Right? You learn something, you want to know, what's the derech? What's the derech of Ishbitzer? What we're going to learn Mitzvah inside the Sefer, inside the Meshiloch, is the extraordinary chiddush of the Ishbitzer. What was new, the path that he established, was that there's absolutely no path at all. It's forbidden to have a path. One mustn't have a path. What do I mean by that? It says in the Pasuk in Kedoshim, Elohei ma'aseicha loitas eloch. You should not make any gods. What does it mean, ma'aseicha? It means a metal. No, mask. It means it was Elohei ma'aseicha, that it was meaning formed from metal. Lo ta'aseloch. Elohei ma'aseicha lo ta'aseloch. So this Ishbitzer writes in the Meshiloch and Kedoshim, ma'aseches dahainu klolim Hamaviyim es ha'odam, klolim, ironclad rules. Hamaviyim es ha'odam ledricha b'makom, lekavila b'makom, that make a person chained down to one way or one place. Elio ha'novi pa'al b'har ha'kama, lefi binas libo, mebli lahabit el ha'klolim. We're going to talk much more about this. The Eliyahu Navi did something very shocking and very radical in Har HaKarmel, which Chazal tell us was a Harah Shah. It was a temporary injunction. When he built the altar by Har HaKarmel. So the Ishbitzer said that a Jewish person is not allowed to be stuck in one way. There is no Shita. And he always interpreted the mitzvah of living in a sukkah. When it says, the Lashon of Chazal is, say me diras keva, v'dar b'diras, v'ikone, so dar, you should enter into a diras aroi. And he says that a Jewish person has to be sensitive to the changing will of Hashem in his life. You have to be sensitive, go away from the house of permanence and enter into a house that is temporary. Because one time the meter that is demanded of you and the way that is demanded of you is this, and a different time it is that. And there isn't one way of Kotsk as opposed to Vurka, of Chesed, or Din. You have to roll with the punches. And Eliyahu Navi, if he would have followed the rules, then he would not have been able to draw fire down on Har HaKarmel. Lo hibut al haklolim. He sought only what was God's will at that moment, not what I want. So listen to how he says pshat in the pasuk, that you're not allowed to make gods out of metal. In other words, God is not someone who is idle, who is someone that doesn't stay. God doesn't stand still. He's not the same. The same way that our God is a living God, and because he's alive at every moment, there could be something else he asks of you. Don't make your life a life that is a graven image. You hear this? Your life can't be a graven image. You can't establish one iron path. He's not talking about, God forbid, not keeping halacha, you understand. Halacha is halacha. We're not talking anything here against halacha. But as far as what midah you to use at that time, what your hanhagas is supposed to be in avodas Hashem and so on. So the Ishbitzer rebelled against order. He rebelled against the sheet, against the idea that you have to have a sheet, or that you have to have a mahalach. Maseich is made from metal, something that can't move. There are people who become so firmly settled in the pleasures of this world. There are people, you'll have a person that has a certain hana, and that hana is so strong that it became like an... it doesn't mean that people nowadays Jews don't bow down to graven images. So this is said, but still there are people, almost every person has a certain little geschmack from this world. I'm a shagaz, a thing that you like in this world. And you can't leave it. That's a metal, it's like it doesn't move. You can't leave, you can't escape it, you're stuck in that way. Ze yikarim maseicha. He interprets in Parsha Shoftim in a similar way that din leisakim lechamat seva, that we're no longer allowed to erect altars of one stone, a matseva, right? Only a mizbeach. No longer allowed to have a matseva. That's something that was beloved in the time of the Avos. So the Ishbitzer interprets this to mean hainush lo yeha adam ba'akshonus bedavra apa avodas Hashem. You shouldn't be stubborn. That it has to be your way, even in the way that you serve Hashem. If you see that a certain midah doesn't work, then try a different midah. Try a different way to approach Hashem. Don't make your life of serving God in matseva, a monolithic way. And that's the meaning, he says, v'zeh perish av shechaviva ha'yse b'mei ha'aviz, that even though we see that in times of the Avos, they used to serve Hashem by building matzevas. That was once a way of serving Hashem. Ki ha'aviz ha'yu takifin v'ha'yu moysim navshim,
Now
we're only allowed to give up our lives for three things. What Halacha tells us. The three things that Halacha tells us that you die for. For those three things you give up your life. Everything else, we no longer see so deeply the will of God. We don't understand anymore. So now there's a way to serve Hashem. It's not called a matzeva anymore. Sometimes if you have a person that has to eat on Yom Kippur, so you tell the person, the doctor said, and he has to eat, and that's the din. So you tell the person, listen, I had such a maisa that where I used to live, where we were learning, there was an older man that he said he's not taking his pill. He had a heart condition. He's not taking his pill in Yom Kippur. He says, my whole life, I never once, because he also had to eat on Yom Kippur in order to take the pill. He said, my whole life I didn't eat Yom Kippur, I'm not eating now. So I told him, listen, why didn't you eat Yom Kippur? Why couldn't you eat last year? So he starts yelling at me, what am I, a shagid? You know, I'll eat on Yom Kippur. So I said, why aren't you allowed to eat Yom Kippur? So he says, it says in Torah, now he starts telling me the Pasuk, it says in the Rambam, he's in the Talmud Chacham. He says, you're not allowed to eat Yom Kippur. So I told him, listen, the Rebbeinu Shlom told you, listen, you're not allowed to eat Yom Kippur. Today he's telling you that if you fast Yom Kippur, you're a Rasha. Right? That's the din. You're committing suicide. It's not Rasha. We don't have any more matzeiv in this world. Only Gilei Reish, Avod Ezor, Gilei Reish, Yichas Dom. But aside from that, it's been revealed to us, we no longer on the level of the Ovis. We don't die for this. The way to serve Hashem today is different. It's al pi halacha. You have to always ask the din. Of course, it's al pi halacha. And I think this approach to life, this is a fantastic story. This approach to life had obviously a huge influence over the members of his own family. One of the most remarkable tzaddikim in modern times was the grandson of the Ishbitzer, the famous Rebbe Reb Gershon Hendrich from Radzin. To talk about him, it's a whole different parasha, the Radziner, the Baal Tchelis, the one who went off to Italy to find the Tchelis, to find the color, the dye for the tzitzis. Rabbi Avigdesh Nehenech was a genius of the first order in learning, was respected in the whole world of Torah for his lumdus, for his learning. Tzidkus, his very strong ways. He was a machlokes with almost every one of the tzaddikim. He had a machlokes at some point. There's a story from the time that the Rebbe Reb Gesh Nehenech was a child. And in Ishbitz there was a river, and he was going to Tovel, he was going to swim or to go to the water there, he was going to the river. And there was a little wooden bridge across which only one person could go at a time down to the river. And there was, on that bridge, was the Goyin Reb David, who was a Rav of Lumaz. One of the Talmidim of the Ishbitzer was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, was a Rav, and he was a very old man, and he was walking across this little bridge, and Reb Gesh Nehenech as a child was behind him. And he was famous for having a great amount of chutzpah as upon him as a child, and we're told that he gave a kick to the old man that he should move faster. Reb Gesh Nehenech gave him a kick. No. That he should go, let's go, move. So the Reb David, that old tzaddik, couldn't believe it. He screamed out, Derech Eretz! What any of us would scream out? He says, no Derech Eretz! So Reb Gesh Nehenech said, why? So he couldn't believe it. He says, why? So I'm an enikel from Chayzer from Lublin. So that's Reb David said, I'm a descendant of the Chayzer from Lublin. So Reb Gesh Nehenech said, so what? My grandfather's Rebbe now. Your grandfather's dead. So the old man said, what are you talking about? I said, I'm the Enikah from the Chayzer himself. So the old man was very upset, and he went, of course, right away to tell. he went to tell on the Gansh Nehenech, and he comes into the old Rebbe, to Rav Mordechai Yosef, to the Ishbitzer, and listen to this. He comes into the Ishbitzer, and he tells him the Maisa, and the Ishbitzer, of course, apologizes and tells the old man to please go away, and he'll talk to him. And he sends to the grandson, Rav Gansh Nehenech, and he asks him, tell me what happened. And he told him over exactly. That's the truth from Kus they still had. He told him exactly what happened. When the child told it over, the Ishbitzer, Reb Gesh Nehenech told this over. The Ishbitzer began mamish to tremble and to shake and said, how could you say such a thing? The Chayzer from Lublin. He was talking about the Chayzer from Lublin. What's the comparison? Ain't any Megillah Karsul of Shalach Chayzer. I can't touch the bottom of the robe of the Chayzer. How could you say such a thing? And then he was quiet. And Reb Gesh Nehenech says he was very frightened, he was standing there. And the grandfather was quiet for a long time, then he said, listen to this, Aval ani chai, be'emes ani chai. The truth is that you're right. I am alive. U'ba'od she'ani chai, and as long as I live, tikvosi lahagil madreges Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. As long as I live, I still have a hope to be one day like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. It's a maradikavad. In other words, the Chayzer is the Chayzer. But he said to the kid, you're right, the Chayzer is not alive anymore. And as long as a human being lives, as Melepnach, he can still be Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. That's the word. That's why he's called the Me'er Shiloach. You hear this? The living spring, the living fountain, the well of the the flowing waters, the Amayin Achayu Mezgaber. That's the story that we have left from the Ishbitzer. Mitzvah Shem, next week, I'm going to try to divide up the teachings of the Ishbitzer into a few different dinyanim, which I think are very unusual, and where there you see in these, just go through the Sefer is not a chokhmah. To go through some, again, there's no shita, but to go through certain dinyanim where he has a consistent approach to certain dinyanim in Machshava, in Chassidus, Mitzvah Abafodestating, And we'll start to learn a little together, and I hope that in the learning that we'll do, we'll see some of these remarkable things. You'll see how they come to life in the Torahs of the Me'er Shiloach. to touch the edge of his robe.